Boy, what a Thursday today. Bucky is out, but we've had a string of tremendous conversations and guests highlighted by David Pierce. Last hour, Brecken Hager was with us, the now actor with the new movie 12 Mighty Orphans. Ari Temkin was with us early in the show, talking Cowboys minicamp, Cowboys football from the Cowboys Radio Network, and Ty Harrington joined us way back in the 7 o'clock hour as well to preview regional weekend, super regional weekend, I should say, for the Longhorns and all across college baseball. And the guests will roll on, Isaiah, because bottom of the hour, we're going to check in, hopefully, if he's out of his dental appointment. We're going to talk to a very special guest who, well, we'll get you the details coming, but was awarded with something much deserved this week, which we're excited about and excited for him. He's a local filmmaker and documentarian. Also, look who it is. Actually, before we go to the Vaqueros Hotline, can I just mention this, Zay, on our salacious gossip conversation about your favorite TV show, The Bachelor? Here's what it says on the Daily Beast. That Chris Harrison, who was given reportedly $25 million as a settlement to be removed from that show, says here, Chris Harrison's lawyer reportedly vowed to unleash a Shiva of lawsuits exposing a swath of The Bachelor's alleged dirty laundry if his settlement proved insufficient. That's some powerful language right there.
Yeah, that's petty, but I'm with it.
$25 million. Yeah, they kept so. I'm sure the ABC, Disney, and Bachelor franchise. Well, all right, how about $10 million? No. 20. No. Keep going. Or we will unleash a Shiva of lawsuits exposing the swath of dirty laundry. I love it. That's some good legalese right there. All right. So now to our latest next great guest. He is one of the greatest college baseball pitchers of all time. He's a lifetime Longhorn. He's also a world champion for Major League Baseball. And you see him and hear him all the time on the Longhorn Network now, doing tremendous work there, covering Longhorn baseball along with Keith Moreland. He is our great friend, Greg Swindell. Zeke, good morning.
What's up, E? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. This is, how are you, by the way? I know you've been doing a lot of work at LHN. You got a lot going on. How are things for Greg Swindell?
Yeah, we finished the season up. Actually did all the games from the dish, and then once regionals hit, we had to do the regionals from our home studios and the Big 12 tournament. So things changed, but it was weird doing games in my house. But did some Big 12 games and had the Vandy regional, and that was fun just to see Leiter and Rocker. Wish you could have seen them in person, but being able to call their games was fun. And just hanging out right now, going to do a game day Saturday night, so get to come in for game one on Saturday for Longhorn Network, and we're going to do game day, me and Alex Loeb from the Tennis Center.
Yeah.
It'll be fun, just trying to stay busy right now.
Very cool. So that's a little programming. You know, we'll have the games here on the Horn, but LHN won't have the games. It'll be ESPN, ESPNU, but some special programs. Is that a half hour? Is that an hour, Zeke, for Saturday night?
Yep. 7:30 up to game time.
Awesome. Yeah. And you guys will be doing it from the Tennis Center?
Yeah, for some NCAA rules or something, we have to be outside the stadium. So we did an 18 from the Tennis Center, the first game and third game. So it worked then, so hopefully it works again this year.
Awesome. That's great. Well, you're right there from the Occupy Left Field guys and folks, so you can hang out with them a little bit. That'll be good.
I will not be going to left field before the show.
But then soon after.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, gosh, you've seen this team all year long. Because there's so much to talk about and superlatives for this team so far. There's still a lot to accomplish. We all know that. What do you like most about this club as you've gotten to cover it and know it this year?
I think you've heard it from David, and you heard it from Ty. You hear it from pretty much everyone you talk to, that I love the way they go about their business. They prep very well. Their pregame, their batting practice, their infield work, everything is done almost at a professional level, that when the game starts, it's fun. And that's what I like about this team, because they're confident in theirself, and the way their preparation is far above any Texas team. I mean, and Texas teams have been good, but I don't know if just the preparation and being ready for the game. And once the game starts, there's really not much you need to think about except having fun and winning. And that's what I like about this team, because when you do that and you get yourself ready, you're going to play well, and this team has definitely done that this season.
Yeah, and you mentioned, we talked about it with Ty earlier, Ty Harrington, of course, in 20 years down at Texas State. This was a challenging year for coaches. I mean, there were, I mean, without a senior class graduating, with incoming freshmen and, you know, bringing in a transfer like Mike Antico, there were a lot of you know, players to deal with. And that can be a good thing. It builds depth, and that's a good side of it. But at the same time, you can only put 9 on the lineup card, Greg.
Yeah, and for Mike Antico, that was kind of iffy in the middle of the season. He didn't know if he was going to be in the lineup, but you know, and then communication, David Pierce, they had a talk with him, and he says, you know what, you're here, be yourself, go out and play, don't worry about it. And that's kind of when things change for Mike. And when he's in the lineup, and he has to be in the lineup because of his speed, he leads that team, and people just follow suit. He's played a lot of college baseball, and it was a trying year. I mean, just with COVID. I mean, you don't know if you're going to have guys for the weekend because if they test on a Thursday and it's positive, you might lose certain players. So it was just a testful year for everyone. And I always say it every time we do the games, I just tip my hat to players, coaches, personnel, everyone involved.
Greg Swindell is with us. He'll be doing that pregame show over on Longhorn Network, 7:30 on Saturday for Game 1. We'll talk some South Florida coming up, but on Mike Antico, there's something, I don't know, you don't get ahead of yourself here, but there, you know, with that, I mean, just remember that game in Fort Worth on the Friday night when Antico made the diving catch to save, you know, really the game, and then come up the next inning and hit the home run that ended up being the winner of the game, and then it led Texas to win that series. And then, you know, how Texas won the Big 12 championship. There's something neat about the way this team plays and plays for one another, that this is when special things happen. And a guy that was struggling midseason makes a play like that and hits a home run like that to win a huge series, the biggest regular season series of the year. And it seems like that's kind of how this is shaping up, that it's a different guy. There's a lot of opportunities here coming today, this weekend, and hopefully into Omaha for Texas. But it feels like they have a lot of guys that can step into that role when called upon.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't dive and catch that ball, they lose the series, and they're not champions, co-champions of the Big 12. And confidence, I mean, that builds confidence when you have a champion in front of your name that can only do good things. So it did. It changed their season. They started playing loose. You went to the Big 12 tournament. Things don't go your way. You kind of went south a little bit, but you could have been looking forward. I mean, they knew they were going to be a top seed. They knew they were going to have a home regional, possibly a super regional if they win. So once they got there, I really believe 100% capacity raised their game level.
Mm-hmm.
It raises anyone's level. When you're playing in front of 400 people all year, and now you put 7,000 out there, I mean, that's a different level of intensity. And it raises a player's confidence. It raises their, you know, we got a lot of people here behind us screaming and yelling. The other team doesn't like it. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. And that was so great to see from afar over the last weekend was how this team really played to a different level. I mean, I don't care about the competition they're playing. Their game went to another level regardless of who they were playing.
33-5, they outscored the three opponents and were never really challenged. There was never a real sweaty moment. Maybe third inning scoreless against Arizona State. Beyond that, total control for Texas and a dominating weekend. And here comes South Florida. Let me ask you, and then we'll get into the matchup this weekend, Greg. Since you were a big leaguer for a long time, nearly two decades in Major League Baseball after your Texas career, Troy Tulowitzki was a double-digit year major leaguer and all-star, but was a college baseball, you know, dirtbag before that as he worked his way into being a great ball player. What have you seen at the ground level on what Tulo brings to this team?
Well, it's go back to communication. I mean, anyone can come in after a playing career and be a volunteer coach. I did it, but I didn't communicate as good as Troy. I mean, this guy, yes, I volunteered on a national championship team, but these guys, they were extra uber talented in 2005 and were ready to win. Texas coming off of not playing a season, coming off the year before where they don't even make the Big 12 tournament. And for Troy to come in and be able to have them buy into him, one, it's up to the players, for one, to listen to what he has to say, as well as the rest of the coaching staff. But Troy just got out of Major League Baseball. He was a silver slugger. I mean, everything you can look at. And they bought into it. But he is the hardest working volunteer coach I've ever been around, because he's out there every day early. He's out there hitting ground balls, and it's not, there's no accident that this team is playing the way they are, because again, I go back to preparation, and he's a big part of that preparation, making sure that their mind is right and everything is ready to go once the game starts. And it all starts with practice and getting yourself ready. And Troy is a big reason. I think one of the biggest reasons why, especially defensively with the two kids up the middle, their progress and the rest of the team. You talked about him working with Zubia. It's not just Faltini and Daly. He works with everybody. So it's great to see. He's got a lot of passion, and he's got a lot of passion for Texas baseball, and we love that.
It's awesome. And props to David Pierce for, you know, it's an outside-the-box hire. I mean, he doesn't have any ties to Texas. He didn't really know him. And Houston Street makes the recommendation, and here it is. And they're number two in the country right now. Greg Swindell is with us. So we had David Pierce last hour. You may have heard a little bit of it. He didn't announce it officially, but it does feel like they're going back to Ty Madden for the Game 1 start on Saturday. Tristan Stevens and Pete Hansen. I mean, these guys, I mean, you've had some great rotations at Texas, but two first-team All-Big 12 players and Pete Hansen pitching his best right now. That's pretty devastating. I don't know if there's a better, you mentioned the Vanderbilt duo. There might not be a better three-band combination in college baseball right now, Zeke.
Yeah, the Rocker and Leiter, they get the recognition. They're going to be, you know, probably both of them in the top five. They have the electric stuff. You know, they're throwing 100 miles an hour, no hitter, striking out 15 and 16. But when you talk about pitching, Ty Madden, yes, he can be overpowering. Tristan Stevens and Pete Hansen, they go out there, they know how to pitch. They can use it. They use all their pitches. They're not overpowering. But they understand the game. So, yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with, even if you thought Pete Hansen could go game one. I mean, yeah. His confidence there. I mean, anyone you can do, but I think when you get to the super regional level, you do go back to your regular rotation. Ty Madden has been your number one. He'll go out there and give you everything Saturday night. Regionals, yeah, I mean, you're playing a four seed. They're not supposed to be as good, but the team they're playing was a four seed as well in their region. So anything can happen. That's what I like about it. They won. South Florida's won three elimination games to get to where they are. They had to win their conference tournament to get in to a regional. So it's they're playing good. But for Texas, I don't think they're as good as Texas, and Texas should beat them. But they're playing good baseball, and anything can happen in a three-game series.
Funny that you were on the world championship team. You had Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling at the top of the rotation. There's, I mean, and David Pierce tells us each week, you know, he puts his head on the pillow really, really nicely every night, knowing he's got those two guys to start a series. And that it helps a lot. You know, you're playing a short series like this. In baseball, it's a 7-game series, and you got those two horses to give you what you need. And that would be, you know, with Pete Hansen on top of it. And then that bullpen with these young guys and these power arms, there's a lot to like about this team if indeed they can win two more games this weekend.
Yeah. Now you saw Cole Quintanilla. I was really impressed with him. You've seen Tanner Witt all season really take it to the next level. Aaron Nixon, for a true freshman, has taken it to the next level. Cole has been consistent the entire season. He was 94-95, but you saw, again, what 7,000 people will do.
Yeah.
Cole Quintanilla. He was 98 miles an hour.
Yeah.
In that regional tournament. We haven't seen that all season out of him. So that's they have power arms. And yeah, you're throwing power with Madden, bringing in power. It's kind of hard to beat that. So it's really Texas, in my opinion, they can only beat themselves this weekend. And if they want to go to Omaha, just continue to play like they are. And the pitching in regional tournaments, I believe Texas is number one overall in the nation. And South Florida is coming in, I think, fourth overall in pitching in regional play. So it's going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah, runs and bases will be earned this weekend against a pitching team. You know, South Florida's built on their pitching and pitching staff, and that's what Coach Pierce said last hour with us, Zeke, that they, you know, that those early struggles were a lot about their bullpen. They didn't have those roles sorted out. They gave some games away, so the overall record not good, but they've sorted those roles out, and that's where, when you look at the Texas offense, sometimes it can swing and miss, and this is a South Florida pitching staff that does bring some power arms. They're going to throw to strike you out, which they're going to challenge hitters, and Texas has to be ready. That's been an issue before, but, and as David Pierce said last hour to us, we're not going to see the free passes and the bases on balls we got last weekend. We got to be ready to hit the baseball.
You know, South Florida, since we're doing the show, I've been studying up on them. They've walked under 200 and struck out over 500 as a pitching staff.
Wow.
That ratio right there is pretty good. And like you said, they have two starters that are going to give you innings, but they've kind of, during the season, they have two relievers. It's almost like they have four starters. They start two guys or start a guy in a game. He'll go five and the other guy will go four or three or something like that. So it is, they got four guys they can rely on. And if you only have to win two games, you got four guys right there that can do it for you. So Texas obviously has eight or nine. And that helps, but if you can knock the South Florida starter out early enough, you'll have the opportunity to take it in two. But they come in here ready to go and playing good baseball. I think they won five out of six, just like Texas. And it's super regional play. And these guys, I heard Coach Pierce, and I was going to say the same thing, that they're playing on house money.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't supposed to be where they are. So those teams can be scary. They can play so loose that they don't care what happens, and they can win if you don't take care of your business. Texas just has to stay in their game and use all their tools to win this series, because they're obviously the better team overall.
Yeah, but as you said, it takes two quick games, and that pressure will rise, especially if they get behind in one of these early games, and that crowd that's right in there here see something good happen. That would be a concern for me, for sure. Hey, Greg, last thing, have you ever put spider tack on a baseball?
No.
No? Easy answer.
I can answer that better than Garrett Cole. No.
No. What do you make of this whole, maybe it's an early summer, you know, story creation? Is this a huge thing? And there's a lot of reasons why batting average is under 240 in Major League Baseball, but do you think there's something to this, foreign substance debate?
I mean, I'm sure people use it. People have always used it. It's just now they're going to start going out and they have the opportunity and check pitchers a couple times a game, I guess. And if that happens, I mean, you'll see numbers go down, spin rates will go down, everything will go down. So it's always been used. Some kind of substance has been used. I personally have never used it, but know people that have, and that's just part of the game. And I heard
Pete Alonso, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I want them to use it so they know where the ball's going.
Yeah.
I would rather them use that than use something else where you throw it and you don't know where it's going. So
yeah.
it's part of the game, and I think it is nitpicking a little bit, because hitters get to use pine tar to hold the bat. Why can't a pitcher use something to get a better grip? I don't know.
Yeah, well said. And you did answer it much better than Garrett Cole did. That was kind of felt bad for the guy, but come on, man. That's a yes-no question. Go with no.
Yep.
Zeke,
yep.
Thanks a lot, bud. Appreciate it. And we'll look forward to the special on Saturday night. And I appreciate the work all year long. You and Keith are a joy to watch and listen to.
Appreciate what you guys do, too.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Greg Swindell. Well said, as usual, with the pine tar situation. We'll come back when we do. We were going to talk to a guy that was awarded rightfully for a film he made this year. Zay, did you ever see the documentary Outcry?
Yeah, I saw that.
The Greg Kelly story. Well, Pat Condellis, if he's out of his dentist appointment, is going to be with us. I think he's good to go. They were honored with a Sports Emmy this week for that film. And so we'll talk to Pat, congratulate him, and see what's up with all the what their next project is, but let him weigh in on Greg Kelly and where that stands now. Congratulations to them, and we'll tell him that personally when we get back. It's B&E with you, live, local, and digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E today. No Bucky today. He'll be back tomorrow. Actually, I'll be with Bucky tomorrow. He is making final planning and preparations for the Mullet Open, our golf tournament, his golf tournament tomorrow. So he'll get it all done today. We'll be out there live tomorrow at the Wolf Dancer Golf Course, Hyatt Lost Pines Resort, the 20th year of the event. But it's year 21. We had to skip last year, of course. But excited to be back and meet all and see all you folks that are going to play in the tournament. It's a packed house, and it's going to be a great weekend. It'll be warm. Hydrate yourself if you're playing tomorrow. Make sure you're drinking ahead of time, because once it's Once that sweat warp pours in, might be a little bit too late. But we're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow. Also having a lot of fun today. Thank you to Greg Swindell. Appreciate the visit preview and Super Regional weekend. David Pierce earlier, a lot of great conversations this morning. But really excited and saw the news yesterday that our next guest had won a Sports Emmy, or his film had won a Sports Emmy at the award show this week, Outcry. I think a lot of you will remember that well-received miniseries, and, of course, based on a local story here of Greg Kelly, the high school football star at Leander High School, who was arrested and convicted and jailed for a sexual assault of a 4-year-old boy. Obviously, the whole tale played out of him being exonerated and completely from that crime, and obviously the story behind it of how it all happened, how they got it so wrong in that case. And the man who told that story is a good friend of the show. He is Pat Kondelis. He is the creative director at Batbridge Entertainment, and wanted to bring him on and say congratulations. Pat, just that, congratulations on the Sports Emmy. I'm glad that you guys were honored, rightfully so, for the work.
Thank you so much, Aaron. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, was it? I mean, the film was so well received, you know, locally for sure, but around the world, were you surprised to win?
Yeah. You know, you're always surprised. You know, it's a tough thing. It's a strange thing. You know, it's really, you know, it's like the cliche thing. It's just nice to be nominated, and it is. It's nice to get your work recognized because there's certainly, you know, no guarantee that will happen, and then. You know, it's something that's completely out of your hands. So when something like this does happen, yeah, it's pretty great. No complaints at all. And yeah. I just, you know, I'm glad more than anything, more than the award. I'm just glad that the show has been so well received, like you said, and it has been globally, which was a total surprise.
Well, and I know we talked to you in real time when the Outcry series debuted as a miniseries, and you know, you told our audience at the time, but I mean, you're a director and you're a creative director at Batbridge, but you know, you went into that thing as blind as anybody. You liked the story and you didn't, you know, as it played out, you guys didn't know where it was going. And that, you know, and it takes a long time. That's a big investment of time and money and capital to make that work and stick with it. And obviously the reward is a reward, but at the same time, it does honor all the dedication you showed to the project.
Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, I mean, it's, I have a great team at Batbridge, and, you know, it's one of these things where you work on something for multiple years of your life, becomes all encompassing completely. And then at the end of the day, you just hope that people will actually see it, yeah. You know? So it's a weird process, but, I certainly wouldn't have it any other way, but I'm lucky that, you know, our team is incredible. And our editor, actually, Sean McQueenie, I want to give him some love because he's the best editor in the business, hands down. And he got nominated for editing for The Scheme, which he didn't win. But Sean edited Outcry and The Scheme, which, you know, for a guy to edit 7 hours of content, you know, to come out in the same year, that's remarkable.
Yeah, so. And The Scheme was nominated too, right? That's the one on college basketball, and that we've talked about and talked with you about the ills under the, you know, the FBI investigation into college basketball coaches, and of course the Baylor documentary, which preceded that. I mean, you guys have been on a roll at Batbridge, and they've all been tremendous. And the Patty Hearst documentary. Let me ask you this, Pat: when you came out of North Texas and got into this, why documentaries more than just regular films? What is it about a documentary and telling a true story that interests you most?
I think it's really meeting the people. It's you know, I'm very lucky to do what I do, and it sounds. You know, kind of cheesy, but really it's a huge learning experience. And to be able to spend time with such a random group of people that I would never spend time with otherwise, you know, and it's like working on Outcry, you know, to be able to get to know the Williamson County DA's office over a 3-year period and get to know the defense attorney and all of these people that were involved, you know, Keith Hampton in this project. It's really fantastic. Again, it's such a strange thing to meet so many completely unique individuals and spend time with them and have shared experiences with something that's can be very difficult for everybody. So Outcry is one. We just finished another one that, again, is like, you know, the people that I get to work with and meet and interview and just have, you know, great, long, in-depth conversations with fascinating people, really, you know, intelligent people. That's what's great about documentaries.
And I want you to tell us the next one that you're coming out with, because it's going to be must-see if the scheme and disgraced and the outcry are any indication. The radical story of Patty Hearst as well from 2018. You guys are turning them out, and I know it's a lot of work to do that. Our guest is Pat Kandelis, won a Sports Emmy this week. His team did at Bat Bridge Entertainment for Outcry. Can you give our audience an update on Greg Kelly and the family and how things are going? If I'm sure you're keeping tabs. How are things for Greg?
Yeah, I think he's doing really, really well. He was at Eastern Michigan playing football there, and I know the distance was tough. He's newlywed to Gabri, and so I think he just came back, and I know he entered the portal, and I'm not sure what's going to happen with his football career, but I know, you know, after all of this finally getting wrapped up, I know he really wanted to be close to his family, and I think the long distance being in Michigan was a huge challenge for him, so... He's back now, but, you know, we spoke recently after we won the Emmy, and he seems to be doing fantastic.
Well, that's good. Hopefully someone will give him a shot to walk on and continue. But I thought that when he went off and we got the news that he went to Eastern Michigan, after being in prison like he was and away from his family and, boy, to move, not that Michigan's prison or anything, but it's a long way away from your support staff and the people that love you, and you've been away from them for so long anyhow. Interesting and not surprising that that was difficult for him. Pat, I was looking at your LinkedIn bio, and I did not know this. I've never asked you this question in the times you've been on the program. But you were a camera operator at KLRU for quite a while in Austin City Limits. You know, we talk to Tom Gimbel every week. He gives us our live music roadmap. And so you got to do camera work on, I'm sure, a lot of tremendous live music shows and tapings.
I did. I loved that job. I love KLRU. They actually gave me my first shot producing. It was unbelievable. So, yeah, I mean, to get paid, I mean, that's the thing. You know, that's kind of what I've tried to do the whole time, Aaron, is...
Yeah, we all do, right?
How can I get paid to do something that most people would do for free, you know? So working some of the shows that I got a chance to shoot, and then, you know, even the shows, there was for years where I wasn't even shooting for Austin City Limits, where I was just pulling cable and gripping and, you know...
Just to be there.
Yeah, and it was amazing to be standing feet from, you know, from these amazing artists, so...
Awesome.
Loved every minute of it.
It's awesome. It is awesome. And Tom's a good friend of ours, and I'm sure it's just a cool story. It's just amazing to watch and enjoy watching your work and talking to you about it. And so what is the next project that you did? I think you just said there's something that's done, that's ready to go.
There is. It's not sports related, but yeah, it just got announced. So I can say that it's a 4-part documentary on LBJ.
Oh, wow.
A lot of fun to do. I got to talk to, again, some just unbelievably, you know, legends, legendary people. And we made that right in the middle of the pandemic. So it was a really unique production experience, and just a real pleasure to work on a story like that and work with the people that I got to work with. So that's going to be out, I think, in 2022, early 2022.
All right, we'll keep us posted on that and look forward to watching it, of course, and seeing it. And congratulations again to you and the entire team on Outcry, and appreciate you jumping on and being with us again. Thanks a lot, Pat.
Aaron, thank you so much for all the love and support, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you and your work. There's Pat Kandelis. He is the creative director over at Bat Bridge Entertainment, another one of the really, really talented people that live in our fair city and make things happen. Gosh, earlier today we talked to Brecken Hager, and he was a part of the movie 12 Mighty Orphans, which is debuting this weekend, based on a Great Depression era orphanage that formed a football team that went on to do great things. And that story comes out. And Ty Roberts, who's the director of that, lives here. And we've met him before. And Pat Kandelis. I mean, this guy is knocking out of the park. He's doing, you know, global level documentaries. I mean, the Patty Hearst story was award winning. And I know you saw Outcry. I don't know who didn't, if you live in Central Texas and wherever. That story was just so compelling and gripping, and the way Pat and his team told it was just, you know, award-winning, as we just learned. I still go back to the Baylor documentary, Disgrace, that he did on Carlton Dotson and Patrick Dennehy and that whole Dave Bliss scandal. That, I mean, it's just, he does great, great work. What a talented guy. Glad he's being rewarded for it.
Yeah, he's amazing. And I remember watching Outcry, all the parts of that series, and just thinking, man, this is right in our backyard and how good it was made. And yeah, Pat's one of the best.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, he tells great stories. And well, he would tell you, as you just heard how humble he is, the stories are already out there. He's just telling them. But and that's very talented guy right there. And glad to hear Greg Kelly's doing well. And hopefully Greg, who was a star player at Leander when the false accusations came and he ended up in prison. And great, you know, Pat does a great job of telling how they bumbled the case and, you know, all the turns and twists and everything. But he's lost 4 or 5 years of his life battling that. And but he was on his way to play scholarship football. And, you know, he'd still like to play. So, you know, if Steve Sarkisian's listening, or if Jake Spavital, our buddy down at Texas State, he wants to stay closer to home, you could do worse than bringing in that young man if you got to know him during the docuseries Outcry. What a rock that guy is to put what he was put through and still have the attitude he has. He and his wife, I mean, you could do worse than having that guy in your locker room as a walk-on player and just trying to continue his football career. All right, we'll come back. When we do, we'll reset the top stories. We'll tee it up for the rest of the day. A couple more Buck-ons and Buck-offs as we get you going here. Live, local, and digital. Streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
The Horns text line is brought to you by Specs, your tailgating headquarters with a Texas-sized selection of lower-priced everything. Cheers to savings. It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E. Bucky will be back tomorrow. Actually, I'll be with him out at Wolf Dancer Golf Club. We'll come live to you there from the Hyatt Lost Pines Resort, halfway between Austin's airport and Bastrop, Texas, right there across from, what is that high school? Why can't I think of it? Alfred Collins.
Cedar Creek.
I went to Cypress Creek. I should know this. CC's. Are they the Cougars?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because we were the CCC. We were Cypress Creek Cougars back in the day. Way back. Way back, Zay. Old heads, as you like to call us. You know what I'm saying? But Cedar Creek, right across from the high school there, is where you turn into the Hyatt Lost Pines Resort and then make your way back towards the Colorado River and their beautiful location there. Be fun tomorrow. Excited to be out there and see everybody that's playing and be a part of the 20th Mullet Open, the golf tournament. I know, Zay, you're looking forward to it, too. It's going to be a lot of fun to get you into your weekend. It's a regional, super regional weekend that we're getting you into, which is a lot of fun, too. Appreciate everybody weighing in on that today. Ty Harrington was outstanding. Head coach David Pierce and Greg Swindell, pretty high-level baseball analysis there. And if you missed it and you missed any part of this show, you go back and listen on our podcast. But David Pierce, I thought, was pretty awesome. I mean, he didn't tell us for sure, but he did sound like he's going back to Ty Madden for the Saturday start and falling in line with Tristan Stevens and then Pete Hansen if they need him. I mean, the hope is you don't need Pete Hansen. And if you can win game, I mean, this is the flexibility Texas has with so much depth, but if you could win game one and get into game two with a lead, you know, I know you go to your bullpen, but Pete Hansen, tentatively could be available, but you know, you don't want to risk that potentially. But they have so much pitching that if you get game one, you put yourself in a spot. But as Greg Swindell said, you know, South Florida is playing with house money, and they're going to be the loose team, Zay, and they're hot at the right time. You don't win your conference tournament as a sixth seed and then battle your way through the Gainesville Regional without, you know, some pretty darn good pitching, which they're going to bring. And boy, if they could find a lead. The one thing we've learned from about South Florida today from Ty Harrington and Coach Pierce and Zeke is that there are power arms. They strike out a lot of batters. They don't walk a lot of batters. So they come at you with the heat, a good pitching. And they also don't walk much. They don't play small ball. They hit, as Coach Pierce told us, they hit a lot of home runs. They're looking to put the ball in the gap. They're looking to put the ball in and not just, you know, tap it around. They want to put it, you know, barrel it up and drive it out of the ballpark, which I think plays to Texas's advantage in this ballpark, because I'm sure, I don't know where they play there in Tampa at South Florida, but this is not a hitter's park. Now, the wind could be blowing out, so we'll see, but that's kind of their MO. So my only concern for Texas this weekend would be, Zay, if they fell behind or, you know, got behind and then all of a sudden Texas starts to press. Because, and of course, the team that's playing with the house money starts to feel good again. You want to try to avoid that early lead early with Ty Madden would be a good thing for the Longhorns on Saturday night.
Yeah, and those are the scariest teams, the teams that don't have none to lose. Like, they probably didn't expect to make it out of Gainesville, to be honest. Well, at least their fan base didn't. They probably did in the bullpen. But, yeah, at the end of the day, when they come down to the ATX, they're going to be just free-flowing and letting it rip.
Also, coming up on Light the Tower, just was told by Craig Way, they're going to talk to Kendall Rogers, D1Baseball.com, all the latest. And, of course, he broke the news of Jim Schlossnagel taking the A&M job. Also the latest, I know we talked to David Pierce, and I thought there was some news there. I asked him about the hiring of Jose Cruz Jr. down at Rice, and you could tell he's nothing against Jose. He knows he coached his brother at Rice, but Sean Allen, the Texas pitching coach, and has been with David for a long time. I know David was pushing hard for him to get that job and didn't get it. And you can understand the coach, Zay. You know, Jose Cruz Jr., yes, went to Rice, was a three-time All-American, was a part of the College World Series team, but has never managed. I mean, his only coaching experience right now is he was the assistant hitting coach in Detroit for this season only. So that's only a couple of months. And Sean Allen's been doing 20 years as a college baseball assistant, climbing the ladder. And, you know, I know David has a high opinion of Rice and his time there with Wayne Graham. It didn't sound like he really thought that was a good decision by them. But he is happy to keep Sean Allen. And Kendall Rogers will be on to talk about that. Other doors could open because the dominoes are falling. So Kendall Rogers have the very latest.
Yeah, and sometimes the name of the person could be bigger than somebody who might be deserving. We see that in the NBA with the Brooklyn Nets. Even though Steve Nash has done a hell of a job, he was a guy with no experience, but that name Steve Nash is bigger than a lot of others. You know.
Well, and, you know, in college athletics, the boosters have a say, who's going to write the big checks. And I don't know, maybe Jose Cruz Jr., nothing against him. He may do a great job there, a tremendous job. But I find it hard to believe you hire someone with no experience versus guys, you know, whether it was Sean Allen, the UTSA coach was in the mix, the Mississippi State coach, assistant coach was in the mix for the job. But, you know, they're going with a big name. Does that help raise revenue, raise the program? We'll see. Best of luck to Rice. But Texas happy to keep Sean Allen hanging around. Also appreciate Brecken Hager was with us. That was fun. If you missed that at 8 o'clock, Brecken's going to be in a new movie, the new motion picture that's going to be in over 600 theaters now here through the summer, called The 12 Mighty Orphans. He's got a role as a football player, obviously. But as we learned from Brecken, this is not just a one-off thing for him. He wants to pursue a career in acting. He's also got another film that's gone to Sundance that he's a part of. So exciting and good to hear from Brecken this morning. Also, Ari Temkin was with us early in the 6 o'clock hour talking about the Cowboys and their mini camp. Does look like Amari Cooper is going to be out, Zay. Amari Cooper may not be ready for training camp. He's down battling an ankle injury. He's the only Cowboy of note that is missing these mini camps. But and may not be ready for the start of training camp, but I don't think it's anything to be concerned about big picture because he'll be ready to go when it matters.
Yeah, and if you heard Michael Gallup and, you know, the media say that he doesn't think this Cowboys offense can be stopped when they're all clicking. So that's very exciting for Cowboys fans.
Well, Cowboys need to not talk and go play because he's right. I mean, on paper, the Cowboys, if they're healthy up front and Zeke is as engaged as he appears right now, that's been one of the headlines of the offseason for the Cowboys is how, you know, Zeke, who had the holdout famously a couple years ago to get the contract and did not have a good year last year, has been front and center at all the optional workouts. And, Mike McCarthy has been one of our great leaders. You know, if he's engaged, the offensive line is healthy, Dak's got his new contract. I thought that's one of the things Ari mentioned that I think is 100% true for the Cowboys. There is no drama right now. No, 2 years ago it was Zeke's contract. Last year and for the last 2 years it's been about Dak's contract. And are you going to get it done? And Amari Cooper and all this. There's no contract talk. There's no holdouts looming. There's, you know, no coaching search. And Mike, I mean, it's everyone's there. Can they put this thing together? It'll become the thing we will follow here for the next 6 or 5 weeks into training camp. And but yeah, don't be talking. You can go be unstoppable. And because we all agree the talent is there to be as good an offense as there is in this league. But certainly last year was left a lot to be desired in a lot of phases of that football team. But fun show today. Zay, buck on to you. Great job as always. Outstanding work. Appreciate everybody that weighed in. The Blitz was fantastic. Thank you to Craig Way for the Craig Way Reports. And thanks to all those guests. If you missed any of them, Mari Temkin, Ty Harrington was with us, Brecken Hager, David Pierce, Greg Swindell, and our friend Pat Candelas, and congratulations to he and the crew again at Bat Bridge Entertainment for the Sports Emmy for the tremendous mini-series Outcry. Hey, have a wonderful Thursday. We'll see you at the Mullet Open tomorrow. It'll be dark, but we'll be there at 6 a.m. Bringing it live. So if you're going to be there, come join us. If not, we'll bring you with us to the 20th edition of the Mullet Open. Everybody have a wonderful Thursday. We'll do it again bright and early tomorrow. Coming next, Light the Tower, Shirts and Skins, RBKD, and Flex ATX tonight. That's right, all the high school football and high school sports knowledge you need. Flex ATX at 7.